Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the guilt of my sin.
All-powerful God, merciful Father, I, poor, pitiful sinner, confess to you all my sins and unrighteousness. By them I have continually offended you, and dearly deserve your punishment, both now and eternally. But from my heart I am sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. And I pray to you, in your limitless mercy, for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you, and in this said and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young.
At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
How lovely is your dwelling place.
O Lord of hosts.
Behold our shield, O God.
Look on the face of your anointed.
For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness.
For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor.
No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly.
O Lord of hosts,
blessed is the one who trusts in you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us.
Glory to God on high.
And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We praise you. We bless you. We worship you. We glorify you. We give thanks to you for your great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You take away the sin of the world. Receive our prayer. You sit at the right hand of God the Father. Have mercy on us. For you only are holy. You only are the Lord. You only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, are most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, send forth your Son to lead home his bride, the Church, that with all the company of the redeemed, we may finally enter into his eternal wedding feast. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost is from the book of the prophet Amos, the 5th chapter. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, and the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. To the melody of your harps I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you.
May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
O Lord, make haste to help me.
Let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life.
Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire my hurt.
Let them turn back because of their shame.
Who say, aha, aha.
May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you.
May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great.
But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God.
You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you.
May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica, the fourth chapter. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God, God, light, light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. And while the foolish virgins were going to buy oil for their lamps, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is our text. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. When the bridegroom comes, he finds only 5 wise virgins ready to meet him, the other 5 foolishly out shopping for oil. This, Jesus says, is what it will be like. For now, that's what it will be, but for now, it's like this, like 10 virgins, the church on earth, left standing or sitting or waiting, lamps in hand. Maybe it's 10 bored virgins. Maybe it's 10 anxious virgins. Maybe it's 10 ready to give up virgins. The bridegroom delays. The church waiting. Feeling perhaps a bit like a bride left at the altar, or feeling a bit like an abandoned husband, or feeling a bit like a widow pining for her deceased. Years pass. Where is he, this bridegroom of ours? The Old Testament church waiting for the day of the Lord, as we heard from the prophet Amos. The New Testament church, us, waiting for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why the delay? When will the silence be broken? Where is the cry? Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Is he really coming back? We've heard promises before, and we've been disappointed. We've known the loneliness of waiting for someone who never returns, the broken-hearted bride who was abandoned, the children whose mother or father suddenly died and left them alone, the man whose close friend refuses to speak with him. And we fear that it might happen again. Or perhaps we are the promise breaker. Maybe we are the liar or the adulterer. We know unfaithfulness from the inside. It's so difficult to believe anyone, so difficult to trust anyone. It's difficult even for us to believe the words of our Lord. We won't be disappointed again, we say. So we're skeptical of every promise, skeptical even of this promise. The second coming, we think, I'll believe it when I see it. Oh, I hope that it's true, but it has been a long time coming, don't you know? The world, the devil, and our sinful nature create this doubt. Repent. Do not be deceived. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Yes, he is a man like us, but a man without sin. He speaks like us, but his words are utterly true. He promises like we do, but he is ever faithful. We've heard and made such promises before, but we've never heard a promise like this one, a promise made by a person like this, by a man who is not only a man, but is also the good and gracious God. The kingdom of heaven will be like this parable. It will happen. Jesus, the bridegroom, will come. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. All of them. 10 tired virgins, here, maybe, in these pews, possibly, struggling to stay awake even for an hour, like the disciples sleeping when we should be watching, worn out, exhausted, bodies failing, some falling into this final sleep, the sleep of death, our loved ones, sleeping in their graves, unable to be roused, dead before our Lord's return. But even the sleep of death can't keep them, or us if we should join them, from waking at the bridegroom's return. We believe that all, wise and foolish, living and dead, all will be raised by the midnight cry. In Thessalonians, the Holy Spirit, through St. Paul, addresses the question of those who die before our Lord's return. God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And then the dead in Christ will rise first. We mourn, but we mourn with hope. Our grandparents, our parents, our children, our beloved spouses, they won't be left out when the bridegroom returns. Christ was raised. So shall our loved ones be who believed in him, and we with them on the last day at that cry, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." But maybe we say, "I've got plenty of time. He will come like a thief in the night. He will come suddenly, unexpectedly, without warning. How long will it be before he comes?" We don't know. It's not a matter of arithmetic. It's not a matter of algebra. It's not a number for us to figure out. Those who mark their calendars, those who announce the date, will disappoint and be disappointed every time. An unknown day, an unknown hour, month, year, millennium, all unknown. But don't grow lazy. Don't grow discouraged. The day draws near. Soon, and if not soon, then now. Our Lord will come. He will come in his own time and not ours. He will come not by our votes, not by our plans, not by our preparations, but by his own gracious will and his own good timing. We can no more bring his return than the virgins could make the bridegroom appear. When will it strike midnight? If only we could watch the clock. If only we could count the ticking of the hand, like kids trying to stay awake until their parents get back. But we can't. So here we are, 10 virgins in the church, waiting for the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. How much oil is enough? How much faith do we need? If only we could measure it out and make sure that we've got plenty. But not knowing when, not knowing how much, thinking there may be plenty of time, we are tempted to say, "We'll get what we need later. No need to worry now. Tomorrow will be soon enough. Why bother today?" we say. "Besides, I'm too busy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Repentance can wait." That's the temptation that faces us, placing the pleasure of the moment, placing the needs of this time ahead of eternity. A foolish virgin, you might say, thinking to play in another's bed before the bridegroom returns. Have we entertained such thoughts? Are we tempted by such things? Are we those who might say, "I've got time, I can enjoy the sin today"? No one needs to know. No one needs to know that I'm flirting with someone besides my spouse. No one needs to know that I'm looking at filth. No one needs to know that I'm checking out the neighbor. In our secret struggle with sin, we think we have time. Time before our Lord returns. Time to put our messes right. Time to fix what we've broken. Time to make up for what we've done wrong. But you don't have time. That's the lesson of this parable. You can't afford to put this off. Confess your sin today. We can't control our Lord. We aren't masters of his schedule. We can't put him off till tomorrow, and we can't find a way to kind of work our sin or our unbelief or our repentance around his coming, as if he were a house guest whom we could schedule at our convenience. When our Lord comes, He's not going to ask when it would be good for him to come. We can't say, well, you know, Saturday won't work very well. How about next week? Give me time to prepare. Now is the time to prepare. You can't pencil in a deathbed conversion or deathbed repentance. Repent now. Nor can you or anyone else believe for another. There is no saint, there is no spouse, there is no friend to whom you can turn on today or on the last day saying, give me some of the oil, for my lamp is going out. They won't be able to. Faith can't be borrowed, it can't be begged, it can't be bought. It can't be wired from Western Union. Faith is a gift of God. The Holy Spirit, through God's Word, through the Holy Sacraments, through the gifts and the means that are here for you today, the Holy Spirit creates faith. Even infants believe for themselves. The little boy that was baptized here last Sunday, Julian, he believes for himself. He isn't saved by his mother's faith, but by his own clinging to Christ. And then the day of the Lord arrives. Then the midnight cry comes, behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And we who are Christians, we who believe in Jesus, we who have been waiting and watching and praying, hearing that cry, we say, thank goodness. Thanks be to God. Truly, I say to you, the bridegroom did come. Your sin has already been judged. Your punishment has already been paid. There, on the cross, by Jesus. So everything now, everything that we experience in this time is an anticipation of the last day, a getting ready for the wedding feast, a looking forward to that great feast that is to come. And we hear the verdict of the last day ahead of time. Christ, the bridegroom, is here, and he pronounces the verdict. He draws you forward to what is to come. He says, I forgive you. Your doubt, your unfaithfulness, your broken promises, all of it I forgive. I take them. I, your bridegroom, take your sin, and I, your bridegroom, give you myself. Your sin belongs to me now, and I have given myself up for you, the bride, the church. I have made you pure and spotless. I have died for you, and I have risen for you so that you too might rise when the cry comes. Is your lamp running dry? Are you feeling empty? A smoldering wick I will not quench. Here is oil, Christ says, oil for your lamps, oil overflowing. Here is my forgiveness. Go and sin no more. Go and wait and watch and pray. Don't fear the return of Christ. Don't dread the stroke of midnight. Our Lord provides you with what you need to meet him. Christ gives himself to you. So you come out to meet the bridegroom with his own forgiveness, covered in that forgiveness. You come out to meet the bridegroom with the faith that he himself has given to you and poured into your heart. The day draws near. Thank God. You, dear Christian, whatever the foolishness of the past may be, you are the wise virgin with the flask of oil that never diminishes and never runs out because it is filled by your Christ. You may be weary and worn out with waiting, yes, but our Lord comes for you. The midnight cry will bring relief and not fear. Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him, come to meet you. Enter into the marriage feast. This is the hour of salvation. To you the door is open. To you Jesus says, I know you, enter into my joy. And here we have a little taste of that joy. Here we have in part what awaits us in eternity. A little foretaste of the feast that is going to come. A little foretaste of the feast to keep us going, to keep us waiting, to keep us watching, to keep us faithful. Food for today and hope for tomorrow. on this altar is that foretaste of the marriage feast. Poor though it may look, it is a slice of what is to come. The kingdom of heaven is here, in our midst, for Christ is here. His body here given for you, his blood here shed for you. Eat, drink, rejoice. Let your lamp be filled. His word spoken to you, his forgiveness here filling your ears. Believe it and receive what Christ gives. And may the oil be overflowing. The same kingdom that our Lord will bring finally and decisively when he returns, it's already ours. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Help and deliverer, and to you we bring the prayers and petitions of your people, that you may grant to us all things good and needful, and guard us against all things evil and harmful. That the Lord would rule over the darkness and shine his light over all the earth, that those from many nations may be united as one people through baptism, and live together in faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That the Lord would grant us wisdom and courage, that we may be prepared at all times to receive him when he comes in his glory, and that we may not be distracted by earthly glories that fade away, or disillusioned by earthly disappointments, which will come to an end. Let us pray to the Lord. That the Lord would give courage to all pastors as they preach and teach the word of the Lord, that all those who hear may believe, and that believing they may live in righteousness and godliness before the world and be kept to the day when Christ returns as Lord and Judge of all. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That the governments of the world and our leaders would act justly and with mercy, especially for the unborn, the elderly, widows, and orphans, that we may be spared war and violence, and that we may use wisely and for the Lord's glory his gift of liberty and the abundant blessings he has poured out on our land. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That Kelsey, Stephanie, Rachel, Abby, Laura, and all expectant mothers and the children they carry come safely to the time of birth, and that these children be brought to new birth in Christ through holy baptism. Let us pray to the Lord. That those who travel be kept in safety, especially for Ann Bennett, that the coronavirus pandemic come to an end, that our nation would be kept in peace, and that strife would be ended, that the veterans who have served our nation would be kept in health and safety, and that we may rightly give thanks for their sacrifice. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That the Lord would give aid and comfort to the sick, the suffering, and those in their last days, that he may grant healing according to his will and strength to bear up under the weight of loneliness or affliction, especially for Luann, Karen, Agatha, Kurt, Melanie, Diane Albert, Jared Blaze, Ginny Cutler, Kay Emmerich, Karina Faw, Rob Gogan, Judy Greenlees, Phyllis Hoffman, Alethea Johnson, Gary Kengis, George Kengis, Nancy Kengis, Billy Kelly, and Audrey Linick. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That we may not grieve as those who have no hope, that we may rejoice in the promise of the resurrection to life everlasting, and that we may encourage one another with these words. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
that we may find a home within the house of the Lord here on earth, that we may rejoice in the Lord's word and sacraments by which we are brought to faith and nurtured in this faith, and that we may be sustained in the days of waiting, serving the Lord in anticipation of his return. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That the Lord would prepare our hearts by his Spirit for this holy communion upon the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, and that we may keep in holy hearts and live out in holy lives what we have received here upon holy lips. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That we may be ready to receive the Lord when he comes again in glory, that the Lord may open the hearts of those who have wandered away from the faith, and that the Lord may restore those caught up in error's maze. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That the Lord may hear and answer the prayers of his people, and that we may be content with his answer, trusting in his fatherly will and wisdom to grant us all that we need and all that will profit our salvation. Let us pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna! Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
O Christ, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. O Christ, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us your peace. Amen.
Bye. body of Christ given unto death.
Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless me the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.